listening to Inclusive AF with Jackie Clayton and Katie Van Horn.
Hello, hello.
Hello, this is Jackie Clayton.
And this is Katie Van Horn.
And this is the Inclusive AF podcast. Pew, 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 pew.
So folks, I just put a lemon head in my mouth and Jackie's trying to get me to spit it out on camera.
You know, Katie, this, I think when this comes out, it'll be episode number 125.
What? What's that?
Do we have anything to discuss at this point that hasn't been said? Actually, we do, folks.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would love to say the answer is no, we do not. But alas, we live in the U.S., so there's always something to discuss about diversity, equity, and inclusion.
That's right.
Okay, so, Jackie.
Yes.
Is that a rabbit behind you?
It's a rabbit gnome. It's a gnome in a rabbit costume for Easter. Because Jesus. I don't think any of that makes sense.
No, because white Jesus, to be clear. White Jesus.
White Jesus is the one who hid the bunnies. That's right.
Yes.
And turned into a gnome on the fifth day.
Yes. Okay, so Jackie, this topic is one that I think is very critical. And I as usual, I want to take it from the employer perspective. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the next Benedict murder.
Cause of death has not yet been determined.
Yeah, cause of death has not been determined. And I know that the powers that be are maybe saying it's not because of the physical beating. But so for those of you who don't know, non-binary teen in Oklahoma who is being bullied actually died after an altercation in the bathroom at their school where multiple teens sounds like did quite a number on them. Because they were using the women's bathroom and these folks did not like it. Obviously this is heartbreaking and, you know, soul crushing that we are still teaching our kids that hate is okay.
Right.
But what are your thoughts, Jacqueline?
Well, the first thing that hits me is like why DEIB programs are so important, right? I feel like the majority, our biggest competition or the things when we're talking about DEIB, the biggest adversary is doing nothing. It's and the other part, I don't think a lot of the pushback actually comes from hate. It comes from common sense, meaning be nice, don't put your hands on people. Like, why isn't that enough? Always seems to be the argument. Like, why aren't you just treat people fairly? Mm-hmm. And the reason that we have to explain to people that these people exist is because these things happen, and when it comes up, you have to be ready to know how to spring into action immediately to take charge, because we don't have time for you to figure out wherever you stand on how to treat people.
Right.
Like, it's not about, like, there's no reason to let anybody put their hands on another person and not have disciplinary action, period.
Right. Period.
Regardless of sexual orientation, race, age, disability, all of those things. And it's unfortunate people think we've come so far and we are so not ready.
No.
That's the first thing that stands out. What do you think?
No, I think for me, I was just this past weekend, I was working with one of my groups that I work with, one community, and we are doing a training for a medical group that's here in Arizona. And I brought up this situation and one of the women in the room, like, gasped, like she couldn't believe that this happened. And earlier in the training, she had talked about her children and it was one of those, like, such a stark reality of what you have to worry about with your kids, what you don't have to worry about your kids. I mean, there's so many things that parents today have to worry about for their kids going to school of, you know, if they are transgender or, you know, if their gender identity is different, if whatever sexual orientation is different, if whatever might be going on. And then, oh, they might be shot while they're at school. Oh, and, you know, that some teacher might harm them in some way. Like, I don't know how people can be parents. And I won't even say in this day and age, I think it's just generally it like how scary to send your children anywhere away from you and know that this type of stuff can happen and is happening all the time.
And that you have no control over the situation because you think that as a parent, you have rights. And you don't.
Right.
Because we can tell your child where they can go to the bathroom and where they're safe or how long their hair can be or what they can wear or all of these different things. Like, it is, we have been just passing through children through this like archaic program. It is up to parents and for our community leaders to look at the rules that have passed within the school board. It is so unfortunate to know that it probably doesn't say anything in there that's protecting today's children in their policies. Right. I guarantee that's what we're going to find out when all that everything has been done. I just, there was a case that was going on this week. It's not directly tied to it, but there's a child who was set to graduate and they looked at his grades and he's only passed two classes and he is set to graduate from high school this year. And then they put him back when they actually analyzed it. The mom asked him to look at it and they decided to put him back into his freshman year. And it's like, how is that possible?
Right.
That these things happen and we have trusted the education program to make up with rules that make the most sense for our own child without looking at exactly what's going on with our schools.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would also say, I think that the folks in charge, the school boards are also promoting some of these things to restrict to harm kids. I don't know how else to say it. Like it is harming kids. You know, we have, I don't know if you saw in the news, it's in Western Virginia, there is a lawmaker that is trying to ban or prevent transgender kids who are suicidal from getting any type of medical care or mental health care. And it is like they, you know, the American Medical Association and so many different things have said, you know, a child knows by the age of 3 what their sexual identity is and what their gender identity is. And now they might not be able to articulate it or like they don't maybe understand it to be able to speak to it, but they know what it is. And so there is like a piece of this too, that is the, how can you as a human think that it's okay to harm a child in that way? Meaning like you're literally saying you're suicidal. We don't care. You don't get services. Oh, but also at the same time, if we have an embryo, that's a child and we're going to protect it at all costs. It makes sense.
I just did a pull, I just pulled just trans kids and there are laws in Kentucky saying that your child could be arrested for using the wrong bathroom that's going on right now about school boards outing trans kids in California, about like mandating that you have to tell people's parents, you can't hide that information that you have, that if you find out somebody's pronouns, you have to tell their children, or not have schools being able to use their preferred name. Like, this is going on, and I don't know what benefit? How are you, what is beneficial if a child is transgender? How are you benefiting from preventing them to live their life? I don't know what's the point of not allowing people to be within the identity, because I mean, are you're not preventing anything from happening. This is happening with or without you. And by making these people less than a child in education and making them seem less than or not normal in some kind of way is where a lot of this hate, I could treat you any way I want to because no one thinks that you should exist.
Right.
You see a lot of the hate comes out of this.
Right. And, you know, I think, you know, to your point, there are, so this is from 2022, and it was more than 300 bills targeting trans people were introduced by state lawmakers in 2022. I know it's much higher now in 2024. In Arizona alone, I think there's 5 or 6 that are going on that they're trying to get through the different parts of the government. And it is like, to your point, like, but why? Like, what are they doing to you? Because it's not that they're asking for something extraordinary. It's not that any of these kids or anyone in the transgender community is saying, I want more rights than you.
Right. It's just,
I want the same rights, and I wanted to be treated with respect, and I don't want to be harmed. And that somehow is offensive to people.
The Jim Stroud Podcast explores the discoveries and trends forming the future of our lives. Brain-to-brain communication, robot bosses, microchip implants for workers, and artificial intelligence replacing human workers are all happening now. If you want to know what's happening next, subscribe now to the Jim Stroud Podcast.
The other part, next, Benedict was a member of the Choctaw Nation, and we know that Indigenous people here in the United States have long helped in explaining like two-spirit and looking at multiple identities since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how that is going to play a part when, especially in Oklahoma, when we know about, we've studied, and people who are listening will have to do a lot of their own research because this is not an episode that's speaking just about two-spirit. But when you look at people who identify as two-spirit and then not being able to protect those same people at school is just part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think there's also the piece, and this is what I always come back to as well, of every time we talk about any of these situations and, you know, any type of hate crimes, I always go back to, it's not just one group that's being targeted. It's the whole human that's being targeted. So it is you are targeting what piece of that human do you hate so much that you're going to harm them, that
right.
you're going to murder them, that you're going to, whatever it might be. And I think that's the piece as well. And again, we know that, you know, this is fact that Black transgender women are the most targeted and the most harmed just based on, you know, all of the different statistics that are tracked around hate crimes and things along these lines. But it is just why do we keep trying to harm people that are different than us?
Like, right.
To what end?
I mean, and you can't even stick up for yourself. I don't, from what I can tell, especially in the story from next, when you're trying to prevent people from doing something and the police officer's like, oh yeah, we'll take care of it. And they're not taking care of it.
Mm-hmm. And it's also, do they even know how to take care of it? Because
right.
I go back to also like, and this is not to defend law enforcement. I don't think I need to. They can defend themselves. It's more of we ask so much, and it can be applied to educators as well. we ask so much of folks without giving the right resources, without giving the right training. I have, you know, multiple siblings, and my parents were both educators. And my sister, like, it's almost a joke that she will go to these continuing education or whatever the heck they're called, or, you know, like instruction days or whatever for teachers, and in-service, that's what it's called, in-service days. And she will be like, we have this person here doing this training, and it's supposed to be about like how to identify if a child is suicidal, but the person is like, doesn't know what they're talking about and has never had any experience. And like, and so they're also, because they are so underfunded, they're right. bringing in free resources or people that aren't educated or don't know how to say, no, here are the things you need to look at. Here's how you can help prevent that. Here's, if it does happen, how do you keep that kid safe? Because I think that's the other part. It's the, I will speak for my sister. She cares deeply for the kids that are in her classroom and in the school, you know, period. I mean, she just the other day went to a wrestling match for some of the high school kids. She teaches junior high. She hasn't had these kids as students, but she's like, oh, they asked me if I would come because they were all excited to be part of this wrestling tournament. I'm like, that's awesome. But you have those types of teachers. Then you have the other types of teachers that don't care. And we are doing everything in our power to underfund, under-resource, not give anything to these educators. And the same thing applies to police officers. It's how often are they getting de-escalation training? How often are they getting training on how to identify someone that's having a mental health crisis and what to do? Because what you see in these videos all the time is someone's having a mental health crisis and they come in and they come right to the person versus giving them space versus like all the things that you learn how to do when you're in these crisis environments, they either haven't been taught or they forget it or whatever. And so it is the, how often are they actually getting training, reinforcement of the training, whatever it might be, to help them know this person isn't resisting arrest. They don't understand what I'm saying. They don't understand what's going on. They are having a mental health crisis, whatever it might be. Don't shoot. Give them some space and call someone that can actually help them.
And what are the cops supposed to do? Like, why are there cops in schools, right? Like, whose responsibility is it to de-escalate when you have these situations? There's a whole list of people that are there, and it just feels like, I mean, like you're saying, I don't know if the answer is like what the police person should do, but it's like, does the average parent know how things escalate on who is supposed to take what situation that it's going on? Right. When something happens in the bathroom, whose responsibility is it to deal with the children that are in there?
Right. Well, and also like, what is that punishment? But not even what the punishment is, but also how are you helping to educate those children so that they don't do it again, or so that they can learn better or have more critical thinking skills to go?
Oh no, because you know, like, you're not allowed to talk about it, and they can't go to the library and learn about it because the books have been taken out of school.
Yes. Yes.
And they don't talk about Stonewall in American history. So where are we supposed to, what?
Tell me what to do. I hear you. I think it's one of those things that it's an unfortunate situation where, there isn't a one and done. I mean, it's like all things diversity. There's not a one answer is going to solve it. It's you need to do 17 things to actually make some change and get things to happen and get things to get better. And that's a lot of heavy lifting. And again, it goes back to who's having to do the heavy lifting. And it's usually the folks that are already in those marginalized groups and those communities that are like, how do I carry on and have to deal with one more thing? So why can't people just go back to like, why can't people just be kind?
Because we're indoctrinating people to become members of the trans community.
Right. To become pedophiles first.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we're clear on what we're trying to say. like even that, like that whole storyline of, you know, the use the bathroom that best suits your gender identity. Oh, we're going to have pedophiles in there. There hasn't been a case of that anywhere in the US. There have been people that have maybe been cross-dressers that are trying to pretend and they are absolutely predators. But there's never been a case of a transgender person harming someone in a bathroom. Because guess what? They just want to do their business and get out of there. And I think that's also part of it is the assumption of like they're some sort of evil person. When, I mean, you and I both know people who are part of the transgender community. They're actually pretty cool. They're not really that evil in any way, shape, or form. So I'm not really sure where the evil piece comes into play or the, you know, the way that people talk about it. But so in the workplace, what should we do in the workplace when it comes to these types of topics? Because the other piece is, you know, and it comes down to all of the different traumas that occur constantly for different groups. People that are in the transgender community are having to process this, go through this trauma, and continue on their day without any resources as well to say, I'm not okay. And what can employers do? Like, how should employers react to that? And how should employers help to keep people safe and also to keep people talking and using the resources that they have, getting the mental health resources that they have or whatever it might be?
I just feel like there's not really a lot you can do, but I would feel better if, because a lot of the, what we're seeing, the people that are coming out in like fighting these laws or presenting or trying to deal with these anti-LGBTQ laws or these people that are preaching hate all seem to be of a certain age. And it's like, I really think that there are things that are coming now that are just not what we saw when we were younger, you know? And so I know that a lot of these concepts are brand new and they don't make a lot of sense to people. But I would hope that you would have resources for education, like just like we have about anything else. I just hope that you could point to these. If your child comes out as non-binary, or if you meet somebody that's transgender, like what does all of this things mean? You know, next they identified as non-binary, which is really a hard concept for people to wrap their head around, and which I think causes some of the confusion. I mean, we always say more exposure to these things when it helps diffuse your like fear and hate. And so I just wish people could educate themselves to know that these things really are happening without having to relive trauma in order to get bills passed. Like, why can't you just understand these things are happening and hold people accountable to treat each other with dignity and respect at work?
Right.
Maybe they wouldn't try to treat people in this way outside of work.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like there are just resources to learn about this, because it's definitely not from, you know, the dude yelling at your student council meeting that people shouldn't be able to do these things, or some wackadoo parent going in saying that you're going to turn everybody into pedophiles.
Right. Well, and I think the other part that always comes up for me is when people are like, oh, I don't know any transgender people, or I've never been exposed to it. And it makes me kind of chuckle every time, because I'm like, as far as you know, because I mean, I think you and I both also know folks that are transgender that until they tell you, you would not know, you would have no idea.
No.
And it's not even necessary for them to tell you. It shouldn't change the way that you interact with them, treat them, anything along those lines. But yes, I agree. Like, go do your research and figure out if you are in a position to be able to help create environments where people, you know, setting the policies of how do we handle people that are, you know, do we get a single single-use restroom? Do we get, you know, signs that allow anyone that needs to use a restroom to use a restroom, things like that. I think there's just so many things that can be done that are, that seem simple, but it is like, just make people comfortable in the work environment, make sure people are okay.
Now, but part of this is by not holding people accountable for their actions, and this boys will be boys mentality is where all of this comes from.
Right.
Right. Because we, women are less than. So just start there.
Right.
Like, you know, we already know that like people aren't being held accountable just for what's going on when cisgender, straight people aren't being held accountable when you're looking at different things or violations against women or various genders or people that have disabled. Like, we don't treat people as equal. Like, that's the other part. If you would start treating everyone more fairly and equitably, and that became the norm instead of the exception, then that could trickle down.
Right, exactly.
Because the stuff that they're, that they talk about, that they fear, are also the things that they allow people to get away with and not hold people accountable in the first place.
Agree.
You know, like if you held people accountable for sexual assault, then it's for sexual assault or those types of things, then you wouldn't worry about somebody trying to commit an offense if people were held accountable for the offenses that they're committing.
We are gathered here today to give you permission to plan the wedding that you want.
I'm Jessica Bishop.
And I'm Sari Wienerman.
And we're the hosts of the Bouquet Toss podcast.
Today's couples have to juggle so many things, from family expectations to outdated traditions and what's currently trending.
So to make it easier, we're going deep to figure out why we do weddings the way that we do, so you can decide what to keep and what to toss from your wedding day plans.
You are cordially invited to subscribe to the Bouquet Toss wherever you get your podcasts or at evergreenpodcast.com.
By the power vested in us, we pronounce you free to plan your day your way.
Did you hear about that pastor that was on the pulpit that basically said, if a woman is raped and she's wearing shorts, it's her own fault?
No. Shut up.
Swear to you. I'll have to find the video, but it is like completely disturbing because it's this, you know, just old prosody, curmudgeonly.
Curmudgeon pervert.
Like, you know, he's just a complete pervert. Like, you know, he's a dirty dog and like he's on a, you know, he's some sort of preacher telling people, you know, telling women that if you wear shorts, you're asking for it. And you just want to be like, go away, sir, to a dark, whatever dark hole you crawled out of, go head back in. We don't want any.
I mean, I was looking at there in the Mormon church, a woman in Utah was talking about when they divided up and a bishop came to the girls class and let them know that men, that they are not being covering their bodies and they're not being modest because men will picture them naked all the time. And she went on later and was talking about when she got married, anytime her husband would look at somebody who had like short sleeves would get in a fight because he thought she, that he was looking at them, picturing them naked. And finally, it wasn't until she was like 5 years married where she finally said something to her husband. And he was like, I don't picture people naked. Like, why did you think that? She was walking around her whole life.
Yeah.
Thinking that if her arms were showing that they would picture her naked. And then every man, you know, that she saw, any woman in short, that she would get mad because, you know, he went through the grocery store line and the girl had on short sleeves and he was, because he wanted to see her naked. Like
every female in Arizona would be screwed because it's
hot. Yeah, it's freaking hot. And it's like, what? I mean, I just feel like that's just part of the narrative why these things happen.
Yeah, It's just the completely ignorant statements that stick with people forever and the complete lack of education or why do I feel that way?
Why do parents care? You don't even go to that school. Your child's fine. You don't go.
Everything's fine.
They're not bothering you.
Right. It's just fascinating. But anyways, I have one last topic I want to talk about before we shut it down. And it's more to make you laugh.
Oh, I like laughing.
Yeah. So I was on a Zoom call earlier today. And I don't know if you know this, Zoom has a new feature. It's an AI feature that it will summarize your conversation for you that you're having and send you an email, a written document of what you talked about in the call. And so let me just explain to you. I was like, no, absolutely. Okay, folks, you cannot see this, but Jackie's trying to enable this right now as we speak.
Okay, tell me about it. I want to know what it does.
I'm not nowing you right now. Okay, not now. We are not doing that. Absolutely not. But it's literally, so I'm like, you know, as one might realize, if you are in HR, sometimes you have one-on-ones with managers and they're telling you about performance issues or about something that's going on that's very confidential. And then I get a written document to say, and then Katie said this, and then this person said that. I literally looked at this thing and I was like, oh my God, all of this is now subpoenable. That was, of course, my first thought. And there was nothing in there that was bad. It was more just like, what in the world would this, like, who wants this? Who would think this is a good idea? And I'm sure someone was like, hey, it's great. Note taker. It's great. I about came out of myself because I was like, oh, you know, like immediately reached out to our IT folks, like, turn it off.
Turn that off.
Turn it off. Oh, well, so-and-so requested it. I don't care. Turn it off. Turn it off. We're not doing that. Absolutely not. And Teams has it as well, I guess. Teams also has this AI function. But yeah, kind of scary, folks. So, you know, just be aware of your technology. If you're in HR, of, you know, they're always listening. Big Brother is always listening.
I don't like it.
I don't like it at all. I was freaked out. I was like, oh my God, what is happening right now? Because it was like one of those, like, I wasn't expecting it. And it was like, Zoom, you know, whatever. AI transcription, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no.
I'm turning it on. I want to see it.
No, sir. No how. No, sir. No. But anyhow, that was just my little make you chuckle today. Little fun. All right, Jackie. It's Thursday. Obviously, folks won't get this till next Wednesday, but what you got going on this weekend? Anything fun?
I'm going to Santa Rosa.
And as a note, folks, she is going to Santa Rosa and she did not invite me.
Well, you're so busy, Katie, changing the world.
Very mean, very mean. I'm going to a brunch on Saturday, which would be super fun. Yeah. So I'm get to do that because it's still legal in Arizona. Good thing. And yeah, so I'm going to do that on Saturday. And then on Sunday, I'm going to melt into my couch or maybe melt into one of my chairs out back, one of the two. Because we're getting into that springtime. All my allergies are kicking in, but I don't care because it's beautiful out. That's all.
It's that 1 month period where it's
beautiful. Oh, bullshit. Okay.
It's just hot and
flaming. No, it is beautiful from now until May. It's gorgeous in Arizona. And then end of May is when you're like, yeah, it's a little warm. And then June, July, August, September, you're like, I want to die and I just want to sit in my pool all day.
It's when you fried eggs on the sidewalk.
Exactly. But other than that, I don't have to shovel anything snow wise. I don't. We got all kinds of things going on our Zoom today. That's great. I don't have to shovel it. I don't have to drive in something that's going to make me slide all over the road. So I'm safe. So good. All right, folks. Thanks for listening.
Jackie, really hope that you would just like everybody be nice.
Everybody be nice. No, I don't want people to be nice. I want people to be kind.
Be kind.
Because nice is superficial, I feel like.
Be intentional.
Be intentional in your nicety. How about that?
Is that a word?
Yes. Niceties, yes, absolutely. Okay. Thanks to you all for listening. This is Katie Van Horn.
And this is Jackie Clayton.
Bye.
Welcome, change agents, to your go-to place for stories that ignite your spirit, fuel your purpose, and connect us all. We believe in the incredible power of the human spirit, its boundless resilience, and the inspiration it brings to our lives. On the Driving Change podcast, we'll journey together through the extraordinary yet very relatable experiences of some of the most amazing people on earth. Our mission? That through these stories, we might just spark change within you and awaken a newfound motivation to harness your unique gifts to make a real difference in the world. So get ready to be inspired and join us on this incredible adventure. You can find the Driving Change podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you love listening to your favorite podcasts.